Well, it's that season again to talk about deception, and we are going to be talking about propaganda in this sermon. Now, you might think, what's the whole point? I don't watch the news, whatnot. That's great. The problem with propaganda is that it's everywhere. Okay, so, you know, obviously we're not recommending that you just be glued to the news. You know, when you look at the news, you have to understand that you're being fed propaganda on both sides, and you have to realize that there's going to be things that you have to pick out of that in order to discern, if you even can, what's really going on. So even though most of us just completely are like, well, whatever, you know, I just kind of get the news to find out what's going on. Propaganda doesn't really affect me. It actually does, because it affects people that are around you. Okay. So we can't escape propaganda, but we can definitely avoid the effects of propaganda. Now, the thing with propaganda is that the whole purpose is to exchange your ability to think with thoughts. So they want to take away your ability to think and to reason and just provide you, okay, spoon feed you thoughts. And so in this message, we're going to spend a good amount of time learning what the Bible says about thoughts, where they come from, and which thoughts should we choose to think on, okay? Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, which I didn't really get into in this sermon because I knew that I was going to be preaching out of that chapter for Sunday, but Paul in verse 5 tells us that we need to bring into captivity thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Understanding that, I mean, this is a game changer. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't understand. There is a difference between actually thinking and thoughts. A lot of people think, well, I just have these thoughts, so I guess I can never be effective for Christ. I must have sinned too much. And, you know, they just make up these stories. And that's not the case. All of us face this. Okay, the Bible says that our heart, the heart of the old man, is just basically a fountain of trash, just spewing out garbage. And if you make the conscious effort to just focus on those thoughts instead of bringing them into captivity, you're going to have a rough time. You're going to have a rough life. And so this sermon is designed to not only expose propaganda, which again is just another form of deception, but it's to help you with your thought life. It's to help you take control mentally of what's going on. And look, we in today's day and age, deception's on a whole nother level. Okay? And it's only going to get worse, the Bible says. So we need each other to make sure that we are not allowing the enemy to take our thoughts and our ability to think captive from us, but we reclaim that and we take that back and we say, you know what? I'm not going to choose to think on that. I'm not going to choose to just accept what you say. I'm going to actually compare it to the Word of God, and I am going to think on things that are good, because that is how we become successful and that is how we become great at discerning truth. So here's Brother Josh reading Colossians chapter number 2.
Colossians chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible reads, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Brother Evan, would you please pray for us?
All right, amen. So Colossians chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 8 here real quick, and then we're going to come back to it. But I just want to highlight a phrase inside of this verse. Look at verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So that word there, those two words, vain deceit, we're going to talk about a form of that tonight called propaganda. And you might be thinking, what in the world? Why are we talking about propaganda? What's the big deal here? The thing about propaganda is that you cannot escape it. Yeah, you can't escape it. It's everywhere. It doesn't matter. You say, I don't watch the news. I don't watch any news. That's fine. Other people do, and you're around other people. Therefore, propaganda will affect you. It will get to you. And so I'm going to give you some examples of what it is. Okay, we're going to look at some examples in the Bible and then give you some tips on how to actually deal with it. Okay, we can deal with it. We can't escape it, but there is a way that we can deal with propaganda. I was first exposed to propaganda, believe it or not, in public school. So you might be thinking, what? So Washington State, back when I was in high school, one of the required books that you had to read was called 1984 by George Orwell. Now, I'd just be willing to go out on a limb right now and say it's probably not allowed in classrooms anymore, but the book definitely taught us a lot about propaganda, about a lot of the phrases that we use today, like newspeak, thought crimes, things of these types of nature. Those all originated from George Orwell, which isn't his real name. I forgot what his real name was, but he was born under a different name. That's just the name that he chose to be an author under, if that makes sense. So let's get into the definition here. What is propaganda? Well, propaganda is basically the release, distribution of information in order to mislead people. Okay, that's what it is. Propaganda is not necessarily, okay, it is all lies, but it's not necessarily untruths, if that makes sense. So propaganda, when someone's administering propaganda, like the government, they will often say things that are true. And they'll reveal things to you that are true, but they'll leave out other things that are true in order to mislead you, to create bias, to create division. And what I'm going to say this evening is this, okay? Propaganda seeks to exchange thinking for thoughts, okay? Think of the TV. What does TV stand for? Television. What does that really mean? Tell you the vision, okay? The goal of propaganda is to subvert and to completely suppress your ability to think. And a lot of people don't understand this, but this is a big deal. This is a big deal and a big problem with a lot of people, and including Christians. A lot of people don't understand the difference between thoughts and actually thinking. And when you can get that and you can understand that, you're going to be able to overcome a lot of forms of deception that are out in the world. Okay? So we're going to come back to that. And believe it or not, the word actually was developed, hopefully I'm saying this right, my studies, but basically the word can be traced all the way back to Pope Gregory the 15th, I believe, in 1622. So what had happened during that time frame, I guess Martin Luther, you know, the Protestant hero, was stirring up a lot of trouble with the Catholic Church. And so what Pope Gregory did was put together a committee of cardinals. And what these people would do is they would get together and figure out how to combat the Protestant movement or whatever you want to call it back in that day. I mean, I understand the deal with Martin Luther. You know, he's like, I never left the mothership. I never left the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is in me and things of that nature. But he did have some beef with the Catholic Church for whatever it's worth. And of course, the Catholic Church did not like that. Pope Gregory assembles this committee, and it was called propaganda. Okay, and so it became known as a bad word, you know, throughout time and throughout history. And so that's the deal there. Kind of an interesting little tidbit about the word propaganda. Now, I'm just going to give you like seven different tactics of propaganda. There's many tactics. There's all different types of forms of deception. I think the biggest thing, though, is if you can just understand anytime that somebody is trying to replace or remove your ability to think about a situation, they're trying to insert emotion, sensationalism, give you your thoughts, okay? You have to understand and question. You have to, I mean, why do you think the Bible tells you not to just believe everything I say? Right? You have the responsibility to make sure that what I'm telling you is true. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You in that combination, you and the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, okay, that is how you overcome deception. But again, propaganda is not like all other forms of deception. It's everywhere. You cannot escape it no matter how holy or sanctified you think you are. Now, one of the biggest goals or tactics of people trying to administer propaganda is to create what's called the bandwagon effect, right? Human nature, we want to be accepted and we want to be normal, okay? You've probably all heard this saying, I didn't create it, but people are sheeple. And that you're going to find a lot of truth to that in the Christian life. And so one of the things that propagandists will do is they'll basically just start throwing out trends and popular phrases, and they'll get all their buddies together and they'll get all these committees together and all these people together in order to try to make people feel like if they don't believe what's being taught that they're not normal, okay? And there's several ways that they do that. They do that through fear. Hey, we just went through that a few years ago with a whole plandemic thing. You know, if you don't take this, if you don't put this on your face, you're killing your neighbor. You don't love your neighbor. You're not a real Christian. Okay. And what do all the simple people do? Oh, gee, I want to be a great loving neighbor. I want to work my way to heaven. I better do what they say. You know, I mean, think about it. That's how they operate, through fear. You know, and then what came next? Oh, aliens, the currency is going to fall. All of these different things. Yeah, the currency might actually fall, but what do you and I have to gain by worrying about it? You know, the Lord's going to take care of us. And of course, that leads to the next tactic, which is a call to duty. So again, playing off of people's emotions and people's desire, their innate desire to want to be accepted, they'll often have some kind of a call to duty attached to it. Well, if you don't vote for Kamala, okay, then you're bringing people back to 1952. You don't love your neighbor. A vote for Trump is a vote for Nazis, for white supremacy and things like this. It's actually not true, but people say that, and there are many, 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 many people that believe it. There's another tactic called card stacking. Okay, you see this being done against politicians. I think one of the biggest ones is obviously Donald Trump. I'm not endorsing any politicians or any medical procedures this evening, but I am just saying that you can see this with him. Okay, a lot of the media is stacked against him. And you actually just saw this recently with Joe Biden. You know, it was up until the time that Trump and Biden debated, you know, it seemed like those were going to be the matchup. That was going to be the matchup again for this year. And then what happened? Well, his performance was so terrible that he tanked in the real polls and got the left worried. And so they said, well, we got to put somebody else up there. So they picked somebody even more unpopular than Joe Biden, which is his vice president, Kamala. And then the media just starts stacking the cards. They just, you know, we're not going to interview her unless she's got somebody next to her, an earpiece in. And we're just going to basically make it look like everybody now is rallied against her. And so many people are falling for it. It's insane. Why is that? It's because propaganda works and the enemy knows that. And then, of course, you got the old plain folk, the old commoner method. Okay? And that's where you'll see these politicians at the fair, you know, walking around with an ice cream cone. That's like the most popular one because everybody loves their ice cream and likes to go to the fair. And so you'll see these politicians being filmed in these types of settings. Okay, don't be fooled. You know, if they didn't have to be there, they wouldn't. They would rather eat their $10,000 ice cream in private out of their Sub-Zero refrigerators than they would go down to the fair where people are mocking them and they don't show you that. So just be aware of the old plain folk method. I saw a clip recently of Gavin Newsom, and he was like down by, I guess, some creek or some river, and I think it was in Sacramento. And he was pretending to clean up a homeless encampment. People are just like, wow, he's really out there, you know, boots on the ground, first responder kind of guy, taking action. You know, he's learned his lesson. Now it was a photo op. Hey, you think that guy's going to do any work? I don't think so. But again, people buy off on these things and they believe it. And then finally, you got your testimonial tactics. Okay, what the media will do is they'll go, oh, well, guess what? Look at all these white people, white males for Kamala. Right? That's a big one. And they'll take the Star Wars actor. I forgot his name. I hate these movies anyways. Oh, one of the guys that played the Goonies. You know, he's on Hallmark movies or movies that are somewhat Christian. And he's like, I love her. She's such a great woman. And it's in the world. But yep, people see that and they're like, wow, okay, I'm going to follow these people. You know, it's idolatry in a sense. So you got your testimonial tactics, and then of course you got your false analogies, which I've already kind of covered, which are basically, you know, a vote for Kamala is a vote for democracy. It's like, what does that even mean? We don't live in a democracy. A democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner. We live in a republic. It's a completely different governmental system, but the media and the propagandists, the government, they do not like that term. They don't like the term republic. They want you to think that we have a democracy when in fact we absolutely do not. So I'm going to keep giving you some examples. Here's two that were sent to me by people that were angry that we knocked on the doors, and I saved these for just the right moment. Now, I tried to find when this was written, and I want to say it was a few years ago, maybe like 2015, 2011, but somebody sent this to me as like, well, this is just grand proof that you're an idiot, and here's why you knocked on my door, even though I have our apartment complex is no soliciting. So just check this out. So somebody sent me this. A study found that people who have had a born-again experience have a smaller hippocampus than atheists. But the relationship between religious experiences and brain size is complex and not fully understood. I read that and I was like, did you forget to like take that last part out? Because if I was going to try to get somebody mad, I definitely wouldn't put that last part in there. I mean, if you're wondering what the hippocampus is apparently responsible for, it's for like emotions and empathy and things of that nature. And my thought was, okay, so I'm born again, I'm saved, so I've got a smaller hippocampus than an atheist. Well, the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. So once again, the Bible's way ahead of your atheist evolution liberal agenda. So how about that? And all I got back were middle finger emojis. You know, that's it. These people never have anything intelligent to say. When you respond accurately, they just get mad and get upset. But again, that's the type of propaganda that's out. I mean, these are articles out there. These are taught in colleges and schools and things of that nature. Here's the other one. Somebody was mad at all the kids that we'd had with us one time and sent me a thing and said this. A study published in Demography found that having three or more children may have a negative impact on cognitive functioning later in life. That study finds suggest that the effect is similar for both men and women, and that the negative effect is equivalent to 6.2 years of aging. So the more kids you have, the dumber you are. Of course, I mean, who do you think designed this? You think this is real? And why did God say be fruitful and multiply? I mean, it's pretty obvious that somebody with a Bill Gates, George Soros, depopulate the planet type mentality is going to fund this type of so-called study and want to get this information out on the internet, across the airwaves, or what have you. Now go to Romans chapter 1, but keep your place there in Colossians chapter 2. We'll come right back to it. Okay, so again, propaganda seeks to exchange thinking for thoughts. Okay, and then you'll see why here towards the end of the sermon how that works exactly. But that's the goal, that's the idea. Now, another popular term today is this use of the word misinformation. You ever hear that? Misinformation. I saw an interview with Kamala Harris. It was just a real quick clip, and she was talking about how Facebook and Twitter shouldn't have different rules. You know, there should be the same rules for both because of misinformation. You stop and think about that for a second, what that really means. What is she saying? Okay. Where does misinformation come from? Did she say? Well, apparently it doesn't come from CNN, doesn't come from Fox News, although sometimes they both battle and, you know, squabble each other. But really what they're saying is misinformation comes from people like you and me. It comes from the everyday citizen. It comes from the person that posts memes, posts Bible verses, posts their thoughts that they've actually thunk, you know, that they've thought through, if that makes sense. And so, of course, when you start getting people to question or to think contrary to the propaganda, it becomes a huge problem and people don't like that. So Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 18. So the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," now look at this, "hold the truth in unrighteousness." Okay? And so because of this, and because obviously we're headed towards the end times, you're starting to see this just unfold on a mass scale. I mean, it's just like the Bible said, you know, as the day approaches, it's going to get more and more like the days of Noah. That's what you're going to see. So you go back and you kind of read about how God was upset with those times and how he thought to completely eradicate the planet. I mean, that's the direction that we're headed. Okay. That's where we're going. Leave your place there. Go to Revelation chapter number 12. But people that hold the truth in unrighteousness, so how do they do that? Well, they do that by understanding the truth. Remember, the enemy and these reprobates, they know what the truth is, okay? And so therefore, they have to suppress it. They have to work to go around it. And they do that through deception. They do that through vain deceit, through propaganda, through various tactics of propaganda to try to tell you the vision. They want to tell you how to think and what thoughts are acceptable, what thoughts are not acceptable. And here's the why. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So again, this just always goes back to one individual, and that's the devil. His job is to deceive, and to deceive the whole world. Now go back to Colossians chapter number 2. So while you're headed back there, I'm going to read for you a quote from old George Orwell's 1984. And the quote reads this: "Don't you see that the whole aim of new speak is to narrow the range of thought? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible because there will be no words in which to express it." This is why we're against modern Bible versions. This is why we're against dumbing things down for people, okay? Because that is a tactic to remove our ability to think through things in order to reason. We need that. God gave us a mind. He gave us a brain for a reason, okay? So that we could think, we could look at situations, compare situations, and discern what is true and what is false. So with that being understood, understand this also, that propaganda is not to inform or to enrich. Okay? It is simply to reform for the rich. I'll say it like that. Or you could say that propaganda is not to inform or enrich, but to keep us stuck in a mental ditch. However you want to look at it. Okay? But the goal is simple. It is to make sure that you do not think, but rather you just accept the thoughts that they put into your heart. Okay. Remember, okay, we already have enough issues with the heart. Our hearts, and you'll see this later, they generate thoughts. Okay. The old man is continuously generating thoughts. What they do is they understand that. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay. And so what do? They just play on those thoughts because they have the same ones. They act upon the same ones. So that's how they're so successful, or one of the ways that they're very successful at propaganda. So let's actually look at this. Why is propaganda so effective today? Let's start here in verse number 8 real quick, where we first started the sermon. Look what it says. So Paul says, "Beware." We're going to come back to that. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, obviously, we could spend all day here talking about various traditions that men have, philosophies and things of that nature, the rudiments of the world. We kind of did that when we went through the book of Colossians. But the question is, why is propaganda so effective? And why does Paul say this? Okay, beware lest any man spoil you. Okay? Did you know that the enemy can spoil you? You know, go do a word search on your own time in the Bible. Okay? Go get your Bible software out and just type in spoil and go read all the different examples of that. Okay? It's not always pleasant. Now, it's pleasant when God said, hey, you're going to take the promised land and you're going to collect the spoil. Okay, that's a good thing. But what does it mean? It means to take things that don't belong to you. Now, obviously, that's a good portion. That's separate. But more often than not, you see the word being used negatively. Like, if you don't follow the Lord, okay, you're going to get spoiled. The enemy is going to come in, take your wives, take your livestock, take all of your resources, all of your wealth. It's a bad thing. And here, Paul's telling us very plainly that the enemy can spoil us. But keep in mind the context here, okay? How does the enemy want to spoil us? Okay, well, through philosophies, through vain deceit, through deception. Vain meaning empty. Okay, again, one of the tactics of propaganda is to play on the human heart, to play on all the thoughts and the feelings and emotions that naturally spring up inside of us. They're very good at this. So again, why is it so effective today? Well, the answer can be found in verse number 7. Look at what verse 7 says. Actually, back to verse 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, the only way to walk in him is how? Okay, well, you have to understand the word of God. Read, study. Okay, oh, this is how, okay, I got you. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been, and here it is, taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. All of this screams word of God. All of this screams the authority of the Bible. And so the reason why 42% of Americans today they have a positive outlook on socialism, the reason why deconstructing or walking away from the faith is such a big thing today is because of the attack on authority. Okay, I've told you before, the biggest battle that you and I will ever face in our lives is the battle of absolute authority, the Pilate syndrome. What is truth? Okay, that's what we're facing today. Practically every church in town here, and this is not to brag, and I say this all the time, but most of these churches in this town, they do not believe that the Word of God is their final authority. Hey, why? Because they don't believe that they have a real copy, a real living, grafted word of God. Therefore, their authority now is quenched. It's squashed. Okay. And so something has to slip in and fill that void. And so what do? They look to social media. They look to the news media outlets. They look to what their neighbor says. And we already know that propaganda is so effective that most people are already on the bandwagon. They're either on the bandwagon of the left, the bandwagon of the right, or the smaller bandwagon of the conspiracy crowd. And I get it. A lot of the conspiracies are true. I believe a lot of them. Okay. But you have to also be aware that a lot of these conspiracy and so-called, we're not left or right, we're right down the middle and we got truth. We can see truth. A lot of those news outlets are also sowing propaganda to people. Okay. So back to verse number 8. Okay. What's the goal here? The goal is to abound in the truth in your walk, which you can only do if you have the authority of the Word of God. So he says again, beware, lest any man spoil you. So you got two options. Option number one is you do what Paul says and you make this your final authority. Whatever this says, whatever wisdom I glean from this book, that's what I do. That's what I follow. Your other option is to suppress it, to squash it down, and get spoiled by the enemy. That's your other option. Okay, so he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And this is a problem today because a lot of Christians think, oh, I'm right on the rapture, man. I'm right on this. I'm right on all these doctrines because I watched all these sermons. Okay, and next thing you know, they're saying some crazy, ridiculous, stupid things on social media. You know how that happens? Because the enemy has come in and spoiled them because they're not following the example that Paul set forth here. Okay? Remember, applying. If you are not applying, you are dying. That's a fact. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you're losing your salvation, but you're getting spoiled. You're losing. Okay? You're getting your butt whooped at the Christian race. So he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. And you know what? Man has a tradition, and that is to hold the truth in unrighteousness, and his master is the devil, and he wants control. That's what he wants. Wants to control you. So leave your place there. We're done with it for now. Go to Acts chapter 6. I got to get you a biblical example here. Okay? So again, we do not want to be spoiled, and that is the goal of the propagandist. Now, here's a good example while you're waiting or turning to Acts chapter number 6, you know, about the bandwagon effect. If you remember in John chapter 12, the narrator tells you that a lot of the chief rulers of the synagogues actually believed on Christ. Okay? But it says they wouldn't confess him for fear of being thrown out of the synagogue. How do you think they got to that position? Okay, where they are, okay, he's obviously from God to get saved. They believe. It says they believed, okay? But they wouldn't confess him for fear of being thrown out of the synagogue. That is a perfectly clear example of the propaganda that the Pharisees, scribes, and the Sadducees were sowing among the people. If you're with him, you're not with us, and you're not with God. You know, it's the same thing. And so because they were afraid of the masses, what they would think about them if they actually revealed their true, honest thoughts and the new man that they had inside of them, they'd get kicked out. And they couldn't deal with that. You know, there's a lot of people around here like that. Why go to that Shield of Faith Baptist Church if it wasn't for people seeing me out in the parking lot? Boy, if somebody found out I went there, man, it'd be over. My mom would get mad. My dad would get mad. My neighbor, my aunt, my uncle, my boss, all these people sure are going to look down on me. Obviously, they're not going to come straight out and tell you that, but you know that's what they're thinking. I've had people even be halfway honest about it. I would come to that church, but, you know, it's just not the right time. You know, there's certain pawns and rooks and knights and bishops. It's just got to be just right. And if, you know, the wrong person, they're going to take my queen and it's over. Okay. It's fear. What does the Bible say about fear? Fear is the snare of man. If you allow yourself to be overcome and sucked into this trap, you have become spoiled, not like a spoiled, rotten little brat, but you've been basically robbed of your own actions and abilities that God gave you. God gave you the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Spirit that's inside of Stephen, who we're about to read about, is inside of you. So remember that when you're looking at this here. Look at verse number 8. Here's another example. So the Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue," of course, okay, "which is called the synagogue of Libertines and Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." So here you got a guy full of faith, full of power, and he's doing wonders. He's doing miracles. Remember, these things were allowed to be done for a sign to them that believe not. Okay, I'm not saying that you're going to go out there and start doing miracles, but you can still live a life full of faith and power. Okay, and here's what happens when you do that. The enemy attacks. Look at verse 10. It says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Wisdom. You know how you get wisdom. Okay? You get it from the Word of God. You get from learning, reading Bible verses, hearing sermons, and actually thinking about these things so that you can understand them and then internalize them and therefore output them. Put them to work. Okay, you're turning knowledge into wisdom. We've talked about it a lot. But it says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Keep in mind, you've got that same spirit inside of you. Verse 11, "Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Well, there's your propaganda. Is that what Stephen's doing? Is that what he's doing? Is he blaspheming God? Is he blaspheming Jesus Christ here? No, he's blaspheming their traditions, their rudiments, their philosophy, if you will. Verse 12, "And they stirred up the people." Again, that's what they do. And to be quite honest with you, it's this same group of people that are really doing it today. It always goes back to the synagogue. "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." Now, you know how the story ends there, but we're going to stop right there. Go to Genesis chapter number 6. Okay, Genesis chapter number 6. So obviously, you know, Stephen, the deacon here, full of faith, full of power. Obviously, you know, he's not a guy that's going to be spoiled by propaganda, by any kind of vain deceit. And what did that make him? That made him a powerhouse for God. And of course, you see that once you start doing things like that, the enemy, they stir up the people and they get the top tier people, right? They got to go for the elders, the scribes, you know, the educated. Okay? Oh, he's educated. You know, that was a big thing during the pandemic. Are you a doctor? Are you a scientist? You got to trust the science. Oh, you don't believe in science. Oh, you're anti-science. I see how it is. Even though these mandates were illegal, They weren't even logical and have now been proven false by real experts. And of course, did you ever get an apology? No. The only apology I ever heard of was over in Japan, and I'm not endorsing Japan or their form of government, but they actually said, because of the number of deaths over there because of this garbage, they're like, hey, we're actually sorry. We messed up, and we're going to stop this madness, okay? So again, propaganda kills people physically, mentally, and spiritually. It's a big, big deal. So now let's get back into this here, okay? Let's just kind of break down what I've been saying all evening. And that's the fact that propaganda seeks to eliminate thoughts from thinking. Okay, they do not want us to think. That's the problem that the scribes and the elders and these, you know, chief rulers had with Stephen, is that he was able to think. He was able to carry out conversations. He was able to preach the word of God. He was able to counter what was being taught in his day. And it's a threat. Okay, and that's basically what we do as Bible-believing Christians. We believe the whole counsel of God, the whole truth. We believe in absolute authority. And we got here because we, at some point in our lives, decided, you know what, that actually makes sense. Let me think about that. Let me check. Let me read. And you came to that conclusion. So you have the ability to think. You are a very big threat to a lot of people, whether you realize it or not. And so what the enemy needs to do now is he needs to stop you from thinking and just give you thoughts. Remember, people are also very lazy by nature. And so when you subject yourself to too much social media, regular media, people's opinions, okay, it can become very easy for you not to think, just to gobble it up, just to believe. Okay, the Bible has a word to describe that type of person, and it is a simple person, a simple-minded person. Okay, it is not a good thing, it is a bad thing. So let's kind of talk about the source of thoughts. Where do thoughts come from, and how are they different from actually thinking? We use the word thought, like I thought this through. That's just the process of thinking, okay? And so because these words are so closely related, it can almost just seem like, all right, isn't everything the same? Like thinking, thoughts, it's all the same stuff, right? No, it's not. Genesis chapter number 6, look at verse number 5. So the Bible says right here, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, understand the concept here. Okay, Genesis chapter 4, what do we learn? We learn and we know that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so we see that lineage, we see that group of people. And then we see this other group of people called the sons of men, or the daughters of men, it's also put. Okay? And so you have this problem back in the beginning here, the beginning of human history, where people were getting saved. They were calling upon the name of the Lord. And as the earth began to populate in the old world, some people didn't. And so you had this unequally yoked marriage taking place, and that resulted in a lot of worldliness and a lot of problems. And so the earth began to be very, very wicked. And so that's why God says here, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great, meaning very large in the earth. But there's a problem with unregenerate man, or with unsaved man. Look what it says. It says that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You cannot help it. Our old man and our hearts are evil continuously, okay? Which is a huge slap in the face to the people that, well, I've got myself under check. I've got my heart under check. I repented of all my sins. No, you didn't. You're lying to me right now, because the Bible says that your heart is evil. Well, that was Old Testament, but Christ came to give us new life. And if you have new life, then that means you can clean up your thought life. Nope. Okay, not the way you're talking about, and I'm going to prove it to you. Go to Psalm chapter 94. Psalm chapter number 94. In fact, our hearts generate so many different random thoughts, some evil, some just nonsense, some just absolutely ridiculous, that it actually plagues us. And that's what the author here is going to let you know. What did I say? Psalm 94, look at verse 19. Psalm 94, look at verse number 19. Look at how this is written here, okay? Think about this. In the multitude of my thoughts within me. Okay, let me read that first part again. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. So what is he saying here? He's saying, you know, when my thoughts are overwhelming me, when I can't sleep at night because my mind is just going 100 miles per hour. Okay, guess what? You may not have an overthinking problem in this situation. You have an overthought problem. And what's the solution? Okay, the last five words of this verse. Thy comforts delight my soul. Okay, so if you're ever stuck in this situation where you just think you're overthinking and you can't sleep, apparently by just meditating, digesting the comforts that God gives us, okay? And there's many of them, okay? Many promises in the Bible to us. The Spirit lives in us. I mean, the list goes on. We talk about them all the time, okay? That's what comforts us. But notice the internal struggle here, okay? Multitude of thoughts within me. What is it that suppresses that? What is that that we use to overcome the multitude of those thoughts? Well, it's the comforts of God. It's His word. It's His promises. It's the fact that He knows us. He knows every vain thought we have, and yet He still has forgiven us of all of our sins. Okay, so go to Psalm chapter 119 now. Go deep into that chapter, over into the hundreds. We're going to look at verse 113. So again, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, what does he mean? Well, again, going back to Genesis, and we'll look at what Jesus said, okay? But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is a continuous fountain of fleshly desires, thoughts, robberies, adulteries, all of these different types of things. And depending on what situation you find yourself in life, okay, those thoughts will gear towards those things. You got beef with somebody at work, you know, I might have to smash this guy up. You know, I might have to do something. You know, those are thoughts that come from the heart. Okay, but again, it's God's comforts. It's the fact that God's going to put an end to all wickedness that at the end of the day is going to comfort you and get you out of that crazy thought pattern. Okay, again, it's by thinking on the right things, which you definitely got the ability to do. So Psalm chapter 119, look at verse 113. So he writes this, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I've never seen anything help somebody out faster in regards to what they call overthinking, which I should call overthoughting, than actually just, all right, I got to put this stuff down and just grabbing a Bible verse and just thinking about it. Okay, and just holding on to it and thinking about it, looking at it, read it 50 times if you have to in that moment. That I guarantee, I've never heard anybody say, oh, that doesn't work. Okay, you know why? Because it does work. It works like a charm. You just have to understand that you have this problem. And this problem is you have a fountain of just negative thoughts, problems that are just spewing out of your heart. And you got to learn how to recognize that and what to do about it. Okay, let's see here. Go to Proverbs chapter number 12. And keep your place in Proverbs. So we're going to go to Matthew and then we're going to come back to Proverbs and be done. Well, we might hit Philippians first, but just keep your finger in every book that has a P. Okay, just go throughout the Bible real quick. Bookmark. Everyone has a P. I'm just kidding. All right, Proverbs 12, look at verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, meaning correct. Who's righteous? Somebody who's been given that righteousness, a saved person, okay? The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So here, there's a little clue for you, okay? When you learn what a wicked person is, and obviously everybody in here knows this, so I'm not going to take the time to go through the Bible and explain what that is, but when you know there's wicked people, and they're on the news, or they're on social media, okay? And they're giving you counsel. You question everything they say, even the right stuff. Okay? Even the right stuff. Why? Because it's the thoughts of the righteous that are right. Go to Philippians chapter 1 real quick. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4. So right after Ephesians, Philippians chapter number 4, right before where we first started in Colossians, go to Philippians. Go to chapter 4 real quick. We'll grab two verses here because you say, wait a second here. The thoughts of the righteous. So does that mean if I'm righteous, I'm going to have right thoughts all day long? No. You have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth here, okay? Let me show you how you arrive at this location, though, okay? Remember, you're saved, you're born again, your hippocampus isn't smaller than anybody else's, okay? Your brain's not smaller because you're saved. That's a lie. It's just that you're using the new man's brain, okay, which is created perfectly, and so you don't need to use the old one anymore, but verse number 8, Philippians 4, look at verse 8. So Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things. And he's going to give you a list of things here to what? Think upon, okay? You, the Holy Ghost, okay? Think upon what he's about to tell you here, and it will equal Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, obviously if they're done correctly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, whatever it is, okay?
that are true. That's what we're after. We are after truth. And really, in today's day and age, it's hard to go on the internet. It's like, oh, well, InfoWars got a lot of truth. Okay, they do, but they also got a lot of falsehood too. Yeah, Mike Adams in the health range, he's got a lot of truth. He's got a lot of falsehood too. You know, this is where you're going to get a lot of your truth. Now, this isn't necessarily, I'm not saying, no, this is the only book that you should ever read. I read a lot of secular books, okay? I read books by new evangelicals. I read books by atheists. I read books by evolutionists. I read all kinds of different books, and I learn things from them. But, okay, in regards to deception and propaganda, okay, if you're struggling with this, okay, you're struggling with some kind of thought, just vexation, this is your way out. This is your ticket out of there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, some of these things are going to come from the Bible, and some of these things are going to come from events and things that happen in your life. And it's okay to think on those things. But again, the more you go back to Colossians chapter number 2, and you understand that we're a people that abound in the truth. We take applying the Word of God very seriously. Therefore, we're not going to have that much issue, right, recognizing what's true, recognizing what's of good report and things of that nature. Okay, now look at verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So again, that's the restoration of peace. If you know somebody who has succumbed, been spoiled by propaganda, their ticket out is right here and right here only. Mark this down, send this to them, and explain it to them. This is your ticket out. This is how you restore a proper thought pattern for your life. And honestly, it's probably every day for all of us. Because again, that old man fountain, as soon as that alarm clock goes off, even probably while you were sleeping and dreaming, you were probably doing something you shouldn't have been doing. Don't act like it's just me. Okay? Don't act like it's just me. Go to Matthew chapter 15 real quick. Then we'll go and finish up in Proverbs. Go to Matthew chapter number 15 real quick. Because people, oh, Old Testament, man, that's Genesis 6 and evil heart stuff. Wow, yeah, but when you get saved, that goes away. Now it's still there. We're bipolar. We have the old man and we have the new man. And we got to make our decision up each situation, each day. Which way are we going? Matthew 15, 19. Jesus confirms that that is the case for the old man. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So again, when we don't understand this, man, it really can just mess with you. Something's wrong with me. What is going on with me? I have these thoughts. You know, people out there are lying. Oh, I never have any thoughts like that. I would never think such a thing. Look, there's people that'll be honest about it and tell you, I felt like slapping that guy. And there's other people that will lie. I'm so holy. That is so immature. Now you're just lying about it. Because you've thought about it. Because you got the same heart that everybody else does. You're a liar. You're a stinking liar. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That old man can give you one type of thought, and it's evil or vain. One of the, you know, which I guess is two, but it's still evil either way you look at it, okay? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and the list goes on. Again, we counter that by spending time in the Word and understanding, hey, what's true? Okay, well, the situation over here, I'm going to think about that. We're going to talk about that, okay? And that's going to restore your thinking, and that's going to combat propaganda. So two more verses in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 23, a very familiar one, but I got to leave you with this. And then we'll go to Proverbs 16 and be done. Yeah. All right. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 7. I use this verse all the time because there's always at least five people, it seems like, that I'm trying to help in this situation. And I hope you guys are listening again. Verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And look, again, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So here's the deal, okay? I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You will always behave in a manner that is consistent with how you see yourself, with how your thought process is. What are you thinking about, okay? The enemy understands this. So the enemy sows seeds of discord and says, hey, you're not a reprobate, you're a revolutionary. You're not a fornicator, you're figuring out. You're not, you're not committing, or you're not looking at pornography, you're redefining modesty, okay? And they'll keep saying these things and pushing these things into society. And of course, people don't understand the difference between thoughts and thinking. And of course, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's going to be even more difficult to even reason. And people just get sucked up. Yeah, that's right. We're evolving. We're changing. We're liberated. We're free. Women are more free now than they've ever been. I ain't going back to the 1950s. You go back in this neighborhood over here and you start driving around, you're going to see all kinds. There's a street back here. It's like every other house. I mean, I counted like 15 of them. I will not be dragged back to the 1950s quietly. And I think to myself, are you admitting that you're going back to the 1950s? Because it's like, I will not go back. I will not be dragged back to the 1950s quietly. Well, then you can scream that, okay? Because either way you look at it, you're actually going to a place that's worse than the 1950s. And it's called hell. But anyways, let's go to Proverbs chapter number 16. And we'll finish up. So again, divide and conquer. We know that's the goal of the enemy. And on a specific level, I mean, you say, well, why are we headed towards civil war in this country? It's because of propaganda. Because propaganda seeks to divide thinking or exchange thinking and replace it with thoughts. The enemy knows this. The devil knows this. He's running the course of the world. He knows how your heart is. And he knows how to play on those strings. And so he obviously is driving various forms of propaganda. One verse, Proverbs 16, look at verse number 3. We'll end it right here. Here's another application. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Now look at this. And thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, you want to talk about the thoughts of the righteous are right. That's how you get it. Whatever it is that you're doing in life, your job, your role in life, it doesn't matter. You know, when you decide in your heart, hey, I'm going to commit this to the Lord, your thoughts, okay, God will be in your thoughts. Now, he is putting those thoughts, and he's right there with you. You're saved. You're born again. You got the Holy Spirit, and he's putting those thoughts in your mind, and you need to think on those things. And how do you check whether this thought's from God or not, or from the old man, or worse, from the enemy? Well, does it conform to that list in Philippians chapter 4? Is it true? Is it just? You know, is it righteous? Is it something that Paul did? Is it something that Paul taught? Is it about virtue? Is it of good report? Any of those things, then you know, okay? And so I'm going to leave you with this. We cannot avoid propaganda, but we can make void propaganda. We do that by committing our works to the Lord. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for this church and for all that you do for us, Lord, and all the battles that you fight for us, Lord, that don't always get talked about. Just thank you again and praise you for that. Just pray you bless the fellowship, Lord. Travels home, bring us back again safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.